Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Allbrock and Tommy Kester.
We are from Crestview Country Club here at the Grady Dick Charity Golf Classic, and we've got golfers showing up, ready to rock and roll. We got the music playing. Everybody's rain's not going to hold anybody away. I mean, that sun is, it's trying real hard to come out here today. And that is looking good. That is just fine. So, you know, we're ready to rock and roll. We're ready to go win this thing.
I got to go through our buddy Zeb's bag here. First off,
he's got the Tour 2400 pluses.
He's got no head covers. First off, that's your first telltale sign. No head covers. A TaylorMade 320 Ti. That's not a bad driver, actually. Have you ever heard of Pinnock?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know anything about Pinnock at all.
Yeah, the
Tour Select 3.
Yeah.
A Nike 3. That's not a bad little hybrid there. And then Dunlop irons. These have got to be from probably the 70s, I would think.
Yeah.
He does have a head cover for his putter. So
there you go.
That's
there you go. And that's all we're gonna need Zeb to putt.
Oh, it's an Odyssey putter. That's not a bad putter.
Odyssey is in like Odyssey, Wichita.
No, Odyssey is
work golf. For. I didn't know we made putters.
I know.
That's impressive.
Yep.
We're ready to have some fun out here. That's the reality. We've got our friends. We're double dipping here. Our KWCH 12 News and Odyssey and KFH here are sponsors of this golf tournament, and we're glad to do it because we think this is fun. We love that, you know, that Grady Dick is back here in the summertime and wanting to do something to make an impact here in the city of Wichita. So it should be a great time. It should be a fun time. We're excited about it. And we'll be out here embarrassing ourselves soon enough. And once we get teed off, everything's pushed back a little bit. If you're on your way out here, if you're driving out, just come on down to the main area and they'll get you all set up. We are talking a little Royals. We're talking a little Chiefs today, mostly. Tommy, we'll get into in the next segment some of the other things maybe we saw from around the preseason. Is he my guy? I know I've painted myself into this corner. Is he my guy, Shedeur Sanders?
Oh, he was 100% your guy.
Oh, I know.
Which at this point, like, I think that you clearly need to own that, embrace that, and keep that going.
Well, I do too, because I feel like I'm on an island here. I'm on an island with the young man who, if he can just not make silly decisions, looked pretty good on the football field, which is still the point, right?
Yeah.
You can have dance videos and still be a good football player.
Hey, look, we talked about it on Friday's show that the game, the preseason game, was going to be a monumental opportunity for Shedeur Sanders to show that he has what it takes to play in the NFL.
And he seized it.
And before anybody says, oh, it's just preseason. And I said that at one point, you know, like, let's pump the brakes, not get too excited. It's only preseason. For some guys, preseason is the only opportunity you have. And for Shedeur Sanders,
for everybody that wants to say that and that is a hater, like not a neutral party, which that's the thing that's happened kind of more than anything. There aren't really any more neutral.
Right.
For everybody that is a clearly defined hater of it and you want to say it's just the preseason, had he struggled mightily, would you have said it's just the preseason? No, you'd have said, look how bad he looked in the preseason.
He's not going to make it. It's not going to work out. Absolutely. Like, I understand the hypocritical nature of the preseason. And you have a narrative built in your mind about who you think somebody is and what you think they can do. And if they do well, you're going to try to find a way to discount it. If they're going to do bad, then you just point at them and say, well, there's a reason why he's bad. And so I understand that. Do I think that because of one preseason outing that Shedeur Sanders is all of a sudden going to be a Hall of Famer? Absolutely
not.
Where
did you land with him as a player? I don't even remember now.
I thought he was fine. I didn't think he was incredible.
You didn't think he was first-round talent?
I didn't think he was a first-round talent, but I certainly didn't think that he would fall as far as
he did. Fifth-round talent either. Yeah, yeah, I think he is a... I do think he's first-round talent. By the end of the year, I can't remember. I don't think I liked him the most at the... I liked him the most at the beginning of the season. I don't think I was as clearly defined as that at the end of the season when the draft was actually happening, but I definitely think he was better than a lot of the guys that were drafted ahead of him. And I think that will play itself out as long as he can. And I'm not ignoring the things that the concerns and the things, you know, he obviously didn't handle the interview process well. And then he comes out and he has his speeding tickets and I see the videos. Like, if he will just play football to begin with, then you can let your personality shine all that you want. The things that people put up with in the NFL are a lot. So if you'll just play football first and then go do that stuff, he's a really good football player. I think he, I say it all the time, he reminds me of Baker Mayfield. We've seen what Baker Mayfield can do in this league if he's put in a good situation. I think that's it for him. So I'm happy that he had that performance. End of the year. We're in week 12. Everybody's healthy. Who's the Browns starting quarterback?
Everybody is healthy.
Everybody
in their quarterback room is healthy. Week 12. Probably Flacco. I think Flacco is still probably the starter. I mean, look, I think there's a scenario where Flacco plays poorly enough that he doesn't end up the starter at some point during the season. But I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be Sanders. And no, again,
I mean, they took another rookie ahead of him.
It's if everybody is healthy, that becomes the key question mark. What are the odds that you'll have all four quarterbacks healthy in week 12? Probably slim to none.
No, I'm just saying, like, once we get into this thing, where do we stack these quarterbacks?
I still don't think it's Shedeur in week 12 if everybody's healthy and all things are equal.
I just think he's the best quarterback on the roster. And I love Joe Flacco. I also think the thing that's interesting about the Browns and the thing we have to watch is the Browns could be decent this year. Right? Like they're not, look, what have they had at quarterback? And they've been decent. So they've got some decent weapons in the pass game with Njoku and Judy and Tillman. I don't know what they're going to do to run the ball because they've got another rookie who's really made some poor decisions. Yeah. If we want to talk about poor decisions. And then Myles Garrett on the defense and a defense that's pretty good. Like they have a chance to be pretty good, pretty good. So we'll just, I don't know. That situation becomes one of the most interesting here this offseason, and we'll watch it. I think it's the most interesting quarterback situation this preseason, don't you, is what Shedeur Sanders does. He's become this polarizing yeah. player.
I think that's the storyline.
What else in the preseason are we watching? Did Cam Ward even play? I don't even know. Like, did Cam Ward play for the Titans?
If he did, it was very limited.
Let's see if we can find the Titans. The Titans played, of course. Cam Ward, yeah, he threw 8 passes. Okay. Looked fine, right? According to the box score. I didn't watch a second of that.
That wasn't the top story. The top story was Sanders.
Yeah, and it will continue to be, which is great news for Cam Ward.
I've said that multiple times. I love that for Cam Ward. It's I love that he can sort of just grow and not have to worry about a circus around him. When was the last time, we talked about this before, the last time that you had a rookie number one overall pick at quarterback that isn't surrounded by a circus?
Probably Bryce Young, but I only say that because of his personality. Yeah. Again, he's kind of wired like that with Ward, but he didn't, you know, it took a long time and now he looks good.
Yeah,
but we still don't like with former number one overall pick Bryce Young, like people aren't talking about it. And that's the way it's going to be for Cam Ward. Yeah. It just will be. I mean, it will be. And you know, last year you had all the great rookies that were drafted and who's going to be the best, Caleb Williams. By the way, speaking of players nobody's really talking a lot about, which is, and maybe I'm missing this, and nobody's talking about Caleb Williams at all. Caleb Williams is a really interesting player to me early in the season. He's got a new offensive coordinator. Quarterbacks always have to adjust to that.
He's got a new head coach was a dynamic.
That's what I mean. I call Ben Johnson his offensive coordinator, but yeah, his head coach, the guy that will run this offense. And it's just like you have now this scenario for him where they've fixed a lot of his offensive line, which was a problem last year, at least in theory. They've brought in some linemen. He's got all kinds of weapons in the pass game. They drafted Luther Burden in there. He's a guy too that nobody's talking about. These number one picks between him and Young, and we'll see what happens with Cam Ward. They just haven't come with, and I guess Williams did come with the flair and the fanfare last year. But it's an interesting time for the young quarterbacks. There's the old guard, and then it feels like there's this gap between quarterbacks. All right, Jalen Thompson's going to join us in this hour. I just saw Grady walk up, so we'll go try to chase him down. He's out talking to people. So I'll go try to run him down here for this next segment during the break, and we will make our way through it. We can come back into the Chiefs a little bit. How do we project out what we saw? Josh Simmons, of course, was that story. And we can look around elsewhere in the sports world as well. So a lot coming for you here. We appreciate everybody being here with us. Don't forget the summer concert series is back at Navsker Park Friday.
Right, yeah.
How many more of those do we have?
Two.
Two more. And then we're
one more.
One more. Sorry, one more. Yeah. And then we're in school. Zeb's got the.
Oh, yeah. So we have our last Odyssey summer concert series over there at Navsker Park. 8 to 10, food trucks open at 6 o'clock, a little earlier this Friday. We've had great turnouts the past couple times. We had 1,200 people 2 weeks ago. I'd say about 800 people last week with the heat. That was a great numbers for us. It was a great time. There's more people up and dancing than sitting down in the back. So this coming Friday, 8 to 10, Navsker Park with Roadhouse Saints.
All right. Okay. Roadhouse Saints will be there for that one. So make sure you try to get out there. School will be started up. It'll be a good time. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Try and run down Grady. We'll have Jalen Thompson later this hour. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming right up.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are live at Crespi Country Club, the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament. First time joining us, Grady Dick, named here. So, Grady, I know this has been fast and furious for you guys, but we got a nice turnout here. People are starting to come through. You had the rain. What are you thinking when you walk up here today?
It's crazy. You know, I only really started playing golf, you know, over the past year.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I play a lot of baseball. I always say I play a lot of baseball.
Yeah.
Fell in love with the swing, got addicted real quick. You know, my siblings played a lot.
It's so funny, too. Doesn't that, how many guys do you think that you're playing with now? Because, of course, that happened for, you know, Michael Jordan's generation. You got Barkley out there hacking it around a little bit. It feels like so many guys who are pros go to the game of golf, right? Because it's kind of a low risk for you guys when you're when you have to be careful with everything. I'm sure you'd love to get out there and play baseball right now, but I don't know that, your employers would like that too much.
Yeah.
So how are you shooting it then?
See, that's the thing. I'm so new to it. I don't even know my handicap.
There you go.
That. I just got addicted through playing with my buddies when I come back home and playing scrambles, stuff like that, and having a good time with it and be able to do events like this starting now is it's kind of surreal. And seeing all these carts out here and a lot of my family members, mutual friends, it's a special time.
So what made this, like, how did this start and what made you want to do this year? I know this is the first one, I assume the first of many, but how did this come together?
I think it started with my basketball camp. I had that yesterday. Yep. I had my first one ever last year around this time. So to be able to do it second year in a row is pretty cool, because I remember, being that kid that would go to all the camps.
Yep.
Finally put on my own is sweet. And so we wanted to think of something else that we could bring some more charitable, funds to, especially around the hometown and here at Crestview, and came up with golf, the game I'm getting addicted to, like I said. So what better spot than this?
And you're right. This is a great spot. We love Crestview. They're great sponsors of ours too, but it is built for something like this.
Yeah.
What about, giving back, and we won't reveal now who this will go to help, because that's a part of the day. That's going to happen later in the day. But that's a component too. And I don't even know how you guys find time to think about this stuff. And I know you get lots of great help, but that's a part of this too that has to feel pretty good too, being able to do something positive for the community, even when you don't get to be here probably as much as you'd like to be.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the biggest things my parents instilled in my siblings and I, at a young age. And I'm seeing come to fruition now, as I get older. It's whatever you can do, just give back as much as you can, especially the, community that raised me. And, I can't thank, my dad's been busy for months talking to everyone, annoying me most days, setting this up. But, it all comes out to come out like this, and, it's amazing.
Let's talk ball. How's it looking? Self-evaluate. How do you think your second year in the NBA went versus your first?
A lot better than my first. I think it's just coming with time, talking with, vets like Garrett Temple was mine when I first came in the league, still is. But, his biggest advice was there's going to be ups and downs. It's an 82 game season compared to college. It's, double that or triple.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just being able to not get too high, not get too low, and just kind of keep even, throughout the whole season. And I feel like I tried to learn that coming going in the second season. And, just trying to be consistent with my workouts and all that stuff. And the more I did that, the more I saw it on the court.
How much of that now in year three? That's so interesting, because you didn't play much college ball either. Mm-hmm. So you go from – and at Sunrise, I know you guys had a grind, but that ramp up is fast.
Yeah.
Now in year three, like, do you feel like your legs are even underneath you yet for the changes to the pro game?
No, I don't think I'm really scratching the surface, what I can be, and I think that's exciting just because, it motivates me even more when I know that I can, work even more. It's obviously going to be, a lot more, I'll feel a lot more prepared than I was coming in the first year and then second year. And I think that's the biggest thing that, I got to go into this summer in the off season, going back to the team and just, working and try to hit the ground running when I go into the third.
And your coaches are telling you what, what do they want you to do? What is the next step for you in your career?
Just, be able to, play free. At the end of the day, NBA is all about roles, compared to high school and college, but I think that's the biggest thing that I try to bring to them is just knowing my role, not being anyone who I'm not. But at the same time, we have amazing coaches and we have amazing a play style where you get a rebound and run with it, and no one's kind of set to one position other than maybe a center. But at the same time, we're all semi new to the Raptors organization with the coaching staff and all that good stuff. So they're amazing, and it's kind of a rebuild we had these first 2 years, and we're starting to really build our core chemistry and build into the third year.
Started to see it. So last time I asked you, I don't think you had. What about poutine? Are you team poutine yet?
yeah, I love it.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
pretty good. I can't eat it too much, but first time I had it, and brothers liked it too. It's just a concoction.
What about ketchup potato chips? That's the thing we need to import,
yeah.
I think.
Of course,
down here.
Yeah, I don't know why we haven't.
I know. They're so amazing. what is your – who are you playing with today? Are you playing around, or are you just kind of
mingling? I think my deal is I stay on the 10th hole and tee off with every team.
There you go.
I think I get to go up on the tees and they can use my shot if they want.
Okay.
Which is kind of disrespectful.
I know. I don't know why. But you can come play with me and Zeb. We'll be hacking it out there. We'll be.
That's the best part of my game, though, is I can drive it. But
we may be DAL at the end of this deal. Yeah. But it looks good. You got a great turnout here. Go shake some hands. Do awesome. We don't talk again before you get up to Toronto. Have a great year.
All right.
We'll talk again soon.
So
thanks for putting this on.
All right.
And we'll have a good time today.
Sounds good.
Here goes Grady Dick.
Thank you.
Grady Dick, of course, Wichita Zone, loving it out here, living life, the pro basketball player. Just so cool to have him out, doing an event like this. And, you know, it's, I'm telling you, like, Deb, you get all the things that he's got going on to even like be thinking this way yet is a difficult thing to do.
I was going to say, I thought I had a busy schedule being a DJ and having a full-time job, but seeing him in and out, I mean, he literally just arrived maybe 10 minutes before we got him on air, and he's already shook, a dozen hands before he's gotten down there. And
He's entering his third year in the league. He's 21 years old. Like,
he's 21.
I remember myself at that age, and the thought of like, I mean, I'm still at that point. Like, how am I going to get $5 to split a 30 pack of Keystone and $5 for a pizza at Domino's? And like, that's where my mind space is at that point, to have to juggle being a pro basketball player in a foreign country. 21, and then at the same time, when you're back home trying to do something like this, which Tommy, you know this too, like organizing anything is absolute insanity, let alone a charity golf tournament. I know Grady has a lot of help, and you know his dad's been out here working hard, and his mom, and they're doing their thing, and it's just awesome. And this community is great for it. We've seen Connor Frankamp walking around. I just saw Mike Pelfrey walking around as well. He'll find tremendous support for this. Throughout the years, as his career blossoms, which it will. I think he was at 15 points a game last year. He's still a very young NBA player. He's going to become a really, really good pro basketball player and somebody Wichita stays very proud of. An event like this will grow.
Sure. 100%. And I think that knowing the turnout, you know, despite the weather, despite, you know, this isn't something that's been on the calendar for months and months, right?
Like,
it was a quick turnaround. And so I think, you know, getting the first one under their belt, it will only grow from here. While you're talking to Grady, I'm thinking to myself, hey, we've got a golf tournament to play in a few minutes. So yeah. I took your golf clubs. I put them on your cart for you.
I appreciate that.
I went and picked up a breakfast burrito for you.
Can't wait for that breakfast burrito. I'm telling
you. So, you know, I'm running errands while
we are. Listen, we're running errands. We're tracking people down. We got outside. We didn't know if we'd be able to do that before 9 o'clock. It is going to be a beautiful day to play golf.
Yeah.
Other than having to do a little walking,
it's going to be wet out on the course, but it's going to be, I mean, it's not hot. It's slightly humid as I'm running around. It's a little humid.
A little bit.
But it's not hot. You don't have the sun beating down on you. This weekend was hot. Today's not going to be anything like that.
My parents have been in town, and it's hard when it gets so hot that you can't really do anything. We had the food truck out to one of our HTO locations yesterday, and that was a concern for a little bit. I was like, man, people are gonna be standing around, it gets so hot, like what are they gonna do? And then we got the same kind of cloud cover and sprinkles we had today, so it was fine. But this for August golf, I mean, you can't replicate what we'll have here this afternoon, so it's going to be fantastic. They are, you know, they're talking to people. We'll be ready to roll here. It's going to be a long round, but we're going to have some fun. Kudos to Crestview Country Club, by the way, for, you know, the quick turn on this also, in being happy and excited. I don't know if I've seen Grady out here playing. He told us, Tommy, you weren't here, is he just picked up golf. Like only like right now.
Yeah.
Like it's not a thing. It's,
I learned that. So Callaway, the golf brand Callaway, they have started working on signing athletes that are non-golfers.
Pretty funny.
And so I believe Grady Dick is a Callaway golfer now. Callaway athlete, even though he's not a golfer.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I was joking with him. Like, it's funny that golf and you know, the Jordan era, our era, and Barkley hacks it, and you see all those guys. It's because they don't take a lot of risks when they go out and play golf. So you can scratch that itch to do something. And it, you know, that's what, as a great athlete, that's what drew me to the game.
Sure.
You know, 30 years ago.
The great athlete still you are.
Yes, yes.
The physical specimen that's that
right.
you are. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's really on display when I'm standing next to Grady Dick. It's something. All right, they're going over some rules if you hear it in the background. So we'll kind of continue along with ours. Tommy, we talked about the Chiefs. The reality is that the Chiefs right now, and I don't think this has changed, and I don't think it's going to change, I hope, honestly, in the preseason, because that'll mean nobody got hurt. It's all about that offensive line and what happens. And if Sumataia struggles at left guard, you know, having left guard struggles is not the same as having left tackle struggles. Again, I think there is about a 0% chance they're worse than they were on the line last year. There's maybe a 20% chance they're as bad, and then about an 80% chance that they're better. And I think, you know, as we get ready for the Chiefs and they're dealing with a suspension and they're dealing with other injuries and they're dealing with everything else, if they're better on the line, they're going to be better. No matter who's that wide receiver, no matter who's anywhere else, they didn't have Isaiah Pacheco all year last year. They didn't have Rice anyway all year last year. Like, we got to lock into that line. I mean, it was bad last year. And it affected Mahomes a great deal. They still won all these games, but that's where this has all been so strange, I think, in the offseason. Like, they got to another Super Bowl. They almost pulled off the thing no other team's been able to do. They only lost one real game in the regular season, but I feel like there is so much likely improvement for this team this year. And it all comes down to that line.
But for as good as Josh Simmons was in limited snaps on Saturday, Kingsley Suamataia was probably equally as bad at left guard. And I know that they feel like they invested enough in him, in his draft placement and all of that, where they feel like they've got to get some run out of him. I feel bad for the kid because they pushed him into a situation that he clearly wasn't ready for a year ago. I hope the same thing is not happening this year, where he's not ready for left guard either, and they're pushing him into that situation. I think the best thing that could have happened to him was a year or two under his belt to be able to get acclimated to playing offensive line in the National Football League. That hasn't been the reality for him.
And the best thing for him is to get him off a left tackle.
Yeah.
And just if he's a swing guy, if he's a backup, whatever.
I mean, he had a play that, I mean, was a complete whiff. And he tripped on Simmons' feet and fell down. And what are we doing here?
Well, look, Moore has been getting run at guard in camp. I think our scenario that's most likely now is Taylor will play right tackle and Moore will be the other guard. And that's fine. Like, Moore, you know, at the end of the day, you just bring in enough talented guys and you just, you know, see what happens. I don't know what's going on with Wandé Morris. I would imagine he is an option there too. This will be the Tooney effect, right? What happens when you lose an all-pro guard like Tooney? Now, again, I think for most teams, that's more of a problem when they run the ball a ton. They don't do that. So I think it's going to be okay. How often is Mahomes in a pocket throwing it, right? It's almost never. And if he is, it's out quick. So the tackle thing will make them better, even if they have a massive hole at left guard, which kind of happened last year, right? When they moved Tooney out,
right?
Tooney gave them some respectability. Well, they weakened that spot anyway. So again, I do think there's almost a 0% chance they're not better on the offensive line. And for the Chiefs, that's everything this year. I mean, it's everything.
It is.
It's Mahomes being better than he was a year ago because he'll have at least a little bit more. He was under duress almost every single play.
Why did they get blown out in the Super Bowl? It was their offensive line.
Tampa in the
right.
Super Bowl.
And you go back to that, you know, a few years ago, they completely reinvented their offensive line that offseason. They've done basically the same thing this offseason with the resources they had. You've got to have some of that come to fruition. I mean, I would agree with you that I think that there is a pretty high likelihood that the line as a whole is better than what it was a year ago, simply because of the anchor that Josh Simmons can be at left tackle. But we are probably going to continue to have conversations about Kingsley Suamataia not being able to get it done.
He's not going to start.
Probably going to continue to have conversations about Juwan Taylor, if healthy, being penalized a lot. That's just what he does. Like, those things are not just going to magically go away.
Right.
But you would think that overall, the production of the line should be comprehensively better than a year ago.
Juwan Taylor getting penalized a lot, and what Mahomes dealt with at left tackle last year, two really different things.
Totally.
Juwan Taylor getting penalized a lot is annoying.
Yeah.
It's not, we aren't going to be able to
backbreaking necessarily
what we're going to need to do. And I just, like, last year was so wild when you think about no Pacheco, no Rice. Kelsey was older.
No Brown. Right?
No left tackle, basically. All of these things. Yeah, Hollywood Brown's out most of the year. And they won all those games. And I just keep coming back to this. And we're in, and it's probably next week or the week after where we'll do predictions. They're not getting the run they probably should be getting right now. They're really not, because they're not. People just, I don't know what it is. I don't know why that is. Yeah. I guess because they got beat bad in the Super Bowl. But I listen to people evaluate them, and they're like, oh, you know, people don't understand that they were that bad on the offensive line last year. I don't think they did, because they won all the regular season games.
Right.
Chiefs people know, because we were watching them, and you knew Mahomes looked different because he was running for his life.
You see it on the large scale of, like, when they lose in the Super Bowl. Right. Like, everybody sees it on display then. That's when it's most visible. That's when everybody's eyes are on it. But outside of Chiefs Kingdom, that wasn't a major, like, not anything that anybody really knew about.
Yeah. But do you remember the year? It may have been their Super Bowl year, the Bengals and Flacco. And we have just a minute here. But do you remember that year? Like, what was that story? Because he was getting murdered behind the line, he was getting sacked at record pace. The only difference between that and now is Mahomes' escapability. He just avoided a lot of the sacks. So it's kind of the same thing. We'll see what happens. But I'm pretty bullish, even with all the weird things right now that loom over the Chiefs, the suspension and some of these injuries. I think they're in very, very good shape. And most of it's based on what we saw out of Simmons there in the preseason game and the fact that he's healthy.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
We're at a charity golf tournament here this morning. I know you're jealous.
Yeah, I am.
It's been raining, but we got back outside. Tommy's out. He's getting us started out on the golf course. So glad to have Jalen in. Jalen, we talked a little about the Royals in the last hour, and I just wildly, to me, disappointing that they couldn't even win the series in Minnesota. And I get it. There are circumstances within that. One of those games was pitched by Joe Ryan, but man, it just feels like everything with this team is on such razor thin margins that there's so little room for error. And I just don't know that should be the case. I feel like they should be in better shape than that.
Yeah, Jacob, yesterday's game was really a microcosm of the entire season for the Kansas City Royals. You just were waiting on them to push a run across, to take control of a game that they should have won. And they end up going 1-for-15 and leaving 15 men on base. Those numbers just cannot happen if you want to be a playoff team. And really, you wasted another start from Ryan Burgert, who has been really good
since
he's came over from the San Diego Padres. And it's a game without Bobby Witt Jr. in the lineup. He has a stiff back, and you get the lead late in the game. Benny Pasquantino hits a two-run homer, and then John Ray misplays the ball in left field. And then you get to the 10th inning, and it's a tied ball game. You can't scratch a run across. You can't scratch a run across in the 11th inning. Those things hurt, and I just think the Royals, they really just squandered something big yesterday, and that's been their season this season.
Yeah, that's one you don't want to look back on in 3 or 4 weeks, and they're within a half game or a game or something. You think back to that one. I'm with you on that. But, you know, it adds a little urgency now as they come back home. They can kind of cure what ails them if they were to sweep two series, take 5 of 6, right? But we're to a point now for me, and maybe you agree or disagree, it feels like that third wild card spot's really the only one in play to me.
Oh yeah, I felt that way for the last couple of weeks. The division, I don't even look at those standings. Yeah. I don't think there's no way. I don't
even see with six heads up against the Tigers. I mean, even then it would be a stretch.
Yeah, I feel like if you're the Kansas City Royals right now, you're sitting there and you're looking at, well, is our team good enough to even be in the wild card race right now? Because you can't drop two of three to the Minnesota Twins. You just can't. That team is a young team that is sold off all
their AAA roster.
You cannot do that. You have to win. You have to win that series, bar none. There's no excuse for that. And I think a lot of it has to be that we keep waiting and waiting and waiting for the Royals to turn around. I don't think that that turnaround is coming. This is the team that they have. They are an inconsistent team where the offense is hit or miss. And it missed against the Twins, and you can't have that. You should have won two out of three in that series for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And now it's the Yankees, because I feel like the Mariners and the Red Sox are going to take those two spots by command. The Rangers also struggled this weekend. The Yankees have struggled, and I think they might keep struggling. So then it's kind of the Yankees, the Guardians, the Rangers, and the Royals, all within four games. That to me feels like the opportunity to get into the postseason. But the Royals are at the back end of that. And so, you know, after these next six games, their schedule is not easy. There is a lot of urgency to me right now. Like right now, this has to be a big week.
Yeah, you have 10 out of 11 at home. You got to go at least 7-3 at home to do what you need to do to be back in.
Yeah.
The Nationals are coming in. You have to beat them, bar none. You have to. There's no denying you have to beat. And the Nationals are a good team on the other side of in the National League. They have the similar record as the Royals have. So, I mean,
they're an okay team. They're better than the Twins. Right now, I think roster. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What do you expect out of Falter? Falter's the listed starter. I assume that's the expectation. What do you expect out of him? If Lorenzen, who we just saw in Wichita pitch the other day, Burgard has played himself into the rotation at this point through two starts, I assume. Mm-hmm. So is it sort of Falter or Lorenzen then in that fifth spot?
No doubt. I think Burgard will be in the rotation. And I also think that you still need a lefty. And that's the one thing that I think helps Falter more than anything. He's just a lefty arm. And you don't have that without Cole Regnus or Chris Bubich, you know, still injured right now. So I don't know if maybe they go all righties. I just don't know. But, I mean, when you have a guy like Bailey Falter that can be a lefty,
you
got to
go with the best guy at this point. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like if Falter's been good other than his last start, but if he really, and Lorenzen hasn't been other, what is his status? When do you think Lorenzen's back, by the way?
I think he might be back sooner than we might expect. I mean, like I said, he's been pitching well in the minor league, so maybe he'll get another start or two and he'll be back. But like you said, the good thing about Michael Lorenzen, though, is he can go in the bullpen or he can go, you know, as a starter. But for right now, I think Burger is going to be in that starting rotation. I really think they won that trade. I really think that he can be
as much as we're going to miss Fermin, and Fermin has already been great for the Padres. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
For sure.
Fermin's going to help the Padres. There's no doubt about that. They just, I think if Burger's in the middle of their rotation next year, that was a win for the Royals just because it, you know, they needed the position anyway. A couple other injury questions. What about Cags? What's Cags' status?
He's still working his way back. I think that maybe soon we'll probably see him potentially get out on maybe a rehab assignment. So, but he's progressing for sure.
And then how concerned should we be about Bobby Witt Jr. now? Like I'm starting to be. The fact that he's not in a lineup in this, you know, in the playoff chase that they're in, to me is concerning.
They said yesterday that he could have played through on Saturday, which he did, and then Sunday it just was a day after a night game, so day game after night game. So I think that for him, they kind of want to stay away from him. So yesterday,
I don't know. You're in a playoff chase. You got to have it. I don't know that. I'm a little worried about that.
Maybe if he's not in the lineup tonight, then we might have the that's still another cause for concern. Because, you know, a back, when it stiffs up, I mean, you got to be careful. Look at what happened to Michael Massey when he had his back issues. He was on the IL for a bit. So, I mean, I think Bobby will probably be in the lineup tonight. So maybe that won't be a concern, but we're going to see. That's a big question mark for sure.
Yeah, I guess I suppose he could always DH too.
Yeah.
But when, you know, the other thing, and Tommy brought up a good point, the fact that he didn't pinch hit.
Yes.
In any of those extra inning situations like that, that to me is not good. I don't know. Yeah. I think there's a little bit of a concern there. All right. What's your expectation? What's your expectation this week? Six games, soft opponents, softish opponents, all at home. The Royals will win how many of them?
They need to win 5 of 6 this week, if we're being honest. But I think they win 4 of those 6 games. I think that's a fair assessment. What about you?
I think that's probably about right. I think it's what's hardest thing for me, Jalen, with the Royals this year is, you know, at any point they could win 10 straight games. Like, they have that in them. I don't know that the starting rotation is in a good position for that right now, but they're that kind of team. Now we'll see what happens with Bobby Witt Jr. And I suppose with Seth Lugo, what did you make of that bad performance? He's not been quite as solid the last couple of times out. Any concern there? What were the Royals saying after that start?
I'm not too concerned with Seth Lugo. I think with him, his last start in Minnesota last year wasn't good as well. So I don't know if it's something with Target Field, but I think Seth Lugo is going to come back and have a great start. I really do. I think that
I agree.
You know, it's the middle of the season. You're going to have ups and downs, and that was his worst start this season. So, I mean, that's impressive if that's your worst one that you've had all year.
No, I think I agree. I think I agree. Jalen Thompson joining us, our KC Royals insider beat reporter for the KC Star. Jalen, what do you have working for us here right now up on the site?
Right now, you know, we just got the recaps from the weekend series, and then kind of starting fresh on Monday today, just getting ready to see what this national series is going to be like. So nothing too crazy. I will say this, though. The Royals will not see Mackenzie Gore, so they have a chance, you know, to sweep if they put their minds to it. But
they are better. Like, at some point, they're the better team, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they're the better team. So go be the better team.
Go be
that's
the
all
better
it is. Contest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go be the better team. Beat the Nationals. Beat the White Sox. That's what you gotta do.
Royals baseball pregame coverage tonight here at 6:30 on KFH. Jalen, enjoy some home games. We'll see if we can get some wins piled up here.
All right. Thank you so much, Jacob. Talk to you soon.
There goes Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. Appreciate his visits on a Monday here as we're continue our coverage from Crestview Country Club at the Grady Dick Golf Charity. We call it a classic yet. I don't think we can call it a classic yet. But it just rolls off the tongue that way. Couple other things, programming notes we want to tell you about: the Zac Brown Band giveaway in Vegas. This will be the last time I'll tell you about this, actually. So Zac Brown Band, Love and Fear, live at Sphere Las Vegas this December. It includes a 2-night stay at a suite in the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, the only hotel directly connected to the Sphere. It's easy to enter. It's a national contest. Download the Odyssey app, listen to KFH for at least an hour. Learn more at odyssey.com/Zach, thanks to the Sina Touring Group. Let's get you a chance right now to win some HTO as well. I did get a chance when we were out at the food truck on Sunday at the East location, get a chance to talk to some listeners who have taken advantage of this giveaway. So if you want to win a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from, you can do that by texting the keyword tea to 20357. These will be good for East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. So good luck there. You can win a free iced tea as we get you ready for the sunshine. It's about to be tea drinking weather. You know, we were moping around a little bit about the rain this morning here, Zeb, and it looks like we're just about to wish that it was still cloudy and rainy, because it's going to get steamy and hot. We're going to be out here golfing for this great event. We're going to announce those charities here at the end of this tournament. But there is a couple, I believe, a handful in the mix on this. So we're excited to hear what that is. We're excited to be out here. We always appreciate these great community type events, and Wichita always does such a great job putting them on. Last couple of notes here for me as we get you ready for our almost final segment. I'm glad I was going to check with Zeb during the break on this. So just confirmed. All right. So we got another giveaway I want to do for you. Swing 365. That is in play still here. What it gets you is a week for free on the indoor golf simulator. It's over on the east side of Wichita. It's a blast. Tommy and I have been able to go in there, lucky enough to go in there and test that out. Sometimes I love going in there, watching some baseball, hitting some balls. It's private. You're the only one in there. And you can win a week of that right now. That same number for the T 20357 to enter the Golf 365. You text the keyword swing to 20357, and that will get you entered into that contest. That swing 20357. So we got a couple of contests for you to get you ready throughout the week. We've got all kinds of good stuff here on Sports Daily, and that's just going to keep going, by the way, as we make it into the fall. Giveaways are a big part of what we want to do, and we're happy to do those anytime we get the opportunity. All right, that'll do it for us here live from Crestview Country Club, the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament. We are so excited to get out there and hack it up a little bit. Great cause. Glad to be a part of this and have Odyssey be a part of this, our friends at 12 News be a part of this. And we'll get out there and have a little fun. We'll report back on our ranking here. Zeb made me give a handicap, so maybe if they're taking handicaps into play here, we may have a little swing. We might have a shot at this. We'll see how that goes. But we're happy to be here. Coming up tonight again, Royals baseball, 6:30. Pre-game coverage begins. Regular Infinity Sports Network programming up into that point. Tomorrow, Felix Johnson joins. We'll get his take on the offensive line for the Chiefs and the rest of the happenings around the NFL in the first week of preseason football. We're glad to be here. Thanks to Max Power for holding down the fort back in the studio. For Tommy, for Zeb, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.